I'm praying for this land I love, America, America, the home of the free. But there are people making plans to change America. They've no respect for her or what matters most to me. That's why I stand for the flag.
Welcome to EA Truth Radio, brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com. I am your host, Dan Hennen. Today is November 29th, 2020. Our show will be about current events from the past week, news stories that have been in the mainstream news that shouldn't have been, i.e. fake news, and I'll be giving the listeners information on the real news stories that hit that mainstream news did not cover this past week. Let's get started, as always, with a prayer. Father God, in the name of Yeshua Almighty, the Christ, we humbly come before your throne and ask that you bless the airwaves and this show. Scramble all devices of the enemy and allow this show to go forth and reach millions. Thank you for giving us our audience, Lord. Please give them the ears to hear this message. Please be with each and every one of them where they are while they tune into our shows. Bless each and every one of them. Ultimately, may thy will be done in Jesus' living, powerful, active, and matchless name. Amen. The founder and publisher of Eternal Affairs Media, Curtis R. Bazzelli, is a loyal member of Patriot Mobile and encourages you to mention his name. Patriot Mobile is the only conservative mobile phone carrier that will meet all your calling, texting, and data needs. You can get up to $600 off your bill annually when you refer friends to Patriot Mobile. Join us and fight for your conservative values with each call you make on their nationwide cell phone network. Remember to mention Curtis R. Bazzelli when you sign up for service. Well, let's get started, folks. It's going to be an interesting show today with all that has been going on. So let's jump into it. The news this week, some of the highlighted stories. General Michael Flynn was pardoned on November 25th. So that, of course, made the news. Also, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals granted expedited review for Team Trump on November 23rd. Court of Appeals. So now this relates to the voting fraud, the election fraud. And so they were granted expedited review for that group. Neil Shen from the CCP, Communist China, is the founder of Smartmatic. He's also connected to Dominion Sequoia. So we've got to watch the connections between all of these people in the voting. There are connections made. For instance, the Delian Project. The director of the Delian Project, that's with a D, Delian, is Colleen McClure Paulus. But the Anons researched her and found out that she's married to John Paulus. John Paulus is the CEO of Dominion Voting. Very strange connections. The voting in Massachusetts did now finally confirm that there was a voting glitch in the software. That came out on 11/24, November 24th. Purdue Pharmaceuticals pleads guilty to fraud and kickback conspiracies. Pled guilty. Something you don't really hear about. Of course, that did not make the mainstream news. Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, we covered this a couple of weeks ago. But now the Hunter Biden laptop, the contents, everything on that laptop was released for available to download. It's, I think, it's a gigabyte or two that you can download. And read all the contents of his laptop. They did pull off the porn and the videos such as that, but the rest of the contents of his laptop has gone public. The Anons released it on 4chan. This was done on November 24th. Qantas Airlines. The CEO of Qantas Airlines said that what they're interested in doing in the future is to require people getting on their planes that they show proof. Proof may be needed of a COVID vaccination to board future flights. This is what we're getting to. This is how this whole COVID is going to be coming down the alley here. You might have to show a proof of vaccination to even get on flights. So look for those types of things coming up. It was exposed this week by the Anons. Several or multiple voters' addresses are at the same location. And so this was Macon, Georgia. They showed the address of five or six addresses that were exactly the same, but were different by terms of one was Unit 3, one was Suite 204, one was Apartment 316, one was Suite 396. They had different suffixes on there as far as unit numbers, making it sound like an apartment or a college dorm room or a condominium or of some sort with the different sub-addresses there with the unit numbers or the apartment numbers. Well, the Anons looked it up, and that particular one that had all these multiple addresses with the one was an apartment, unit, condos, they weren't even uniform or similar. They looked them up, and this was a UPS store location in Macon, Georgia that they used. So once again, another proof of more fraud going on here with the presidential election. This time they're using business addresses as the voters and then multiplying those up by using different unit, apartment, or suite numbers. So those got busted. Really big problems going on in Georgia. In Detroit, a witness came forward for fraud. This was November 24th. It was Ms. Artika Bomer. And she had a video out there that you can see. Look on November 24th on Twitter or YouTube. It was Artika Bomer came forward as a witness for the fraud in Detroit for the presidential election. Once again, these are all evidences of fraud. These are not allegations. These are not just conspiracy theories. These people are coming forth in all of these various different states. So fraud does exist. We hear in the mainstream news all the time that these are allegations. There's not any evidence of this existing, but every single day new people are coming forward. General Flynn was pardoned, but on Thanksgiving, there was a photo, a Flynn family photo near a fire pit that was taken at Camp David. I think it was actually Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. A photo of some family members of the Flynn group. And questions were going on the Anons. We're wondering who actually took that photo. President Trump was allegedly at Camp David. Was he there with him? Did he take the photo? Did FLOTUS take the photo? Who took that photo? Very interesting. There's a comment on Q started making some posts again this week, but we have to keep in mind these particular posts did not have the trip code activated. No trip code on these posts. It seemed like it was Q talking in the statements that were made, but without a trip code, probably was not. Now, they did say one phrase was 7 of 9. And many have suspected that means Supreme Court justices. 7 of 9 are good guys. 7 or 9 are moving things forward if it comes to a Supreme Court vote on the elections. Who knows what that is, but they did say 7 of 9. John Voight came out with a video that was very interesting as well. He did a 2-minute video just of himself talking about the election, the fraud, and the state that this country is currently in and needing to get it fixed quickly before the people go into fall in charge of those trying to destroy this country. you look it up, do a search on that, John Voight, John, J-O-N, and then V-O-I-G-H-T. The video that he did was very good. The CIA was stripped of its special ops powers last week. This didn't make news at all. Trump stripped the CIA as an organization of doing any special ops. This was last week. Someone made a comment by basically saying that Trump castrated the CIA from doing anything as far as special ops. Of course, he wants to take them down and end the CIA. But in the meantime, if he can't do that, maybe this was his plan to get the ball rolling here on shutting these guys down and the corruption that is at all levels of the CIA. And this was just last week. Honey and Barry Sherman were in the news. Remember, they were the couple, the Toronto billionaire couple, murdered in December of 2017. Police in Toronto now say that they do have multiple persons of interest in the case. At first, the official narrative was Barry Sherman killed his wife, Honey, turned the gun on himself. The family said right away that was bogus, that was not correct. This was right away in December of, this was 3 years ago. And they said that couldn't have been the case because both of their hands and feet were tied and tied up, and they were looked like they were tortured before they were killed. And Barry Sherman ran that company, the makers of hydroxychloroquine in Toronto, very large business in Toronto. And some are speculating that in December 2017, that that was the case, that they were putting together this plan of attack to move forward with COVID and the coronavirus pandemic, the orchestrated event to bring it in. And everyone knows that the hydroxychloroquine is the fix for this, that he may not have been on board with the deep state and may have raised issues with all of this. And that's maybe that the reason he was taking out the those, I think, are fair enough speculation that they gave the green light on this coronavirus in Wuhan, China, to come forward. May have been given the green light in December of 2017. We know it hit in 2020, or the first cases were out there in October of 2019. But to get the ball rolling on all this, the deep state may have had the inkling way back then to do this. And that's maybe perhaps why this power couple was taken out and murdered in their own home. The good news is that multiple suspects and persons of interest are now involved that they're going to be looking into. So we might see more on this story. Let's see here. General Flynn was pardoned. Interesting thing with the pardoning is what the very same day his family gave a statement. This was November 25th. It was a press release that was from the family, the Flynn family, saying thanks for all the support and those who supported us and whatnot, and to President Trump for sticking by us, and to Sidney Powell. The very next day, November 26th, is a personal statement from General Flynn himself that he published. That is a very interesting thing to read. What he went through and what his family went through on this whole stunt that was pushed, delayed and delayed after he got exonerated from those fake charges. Emmett Sullivan was the judge in that case that kept wanting to push this case forward. And there are still some people out there that believe General Flynn is guilty. So just to reiterate, he was not guilty. He never was guilty. Yes, he pled guilty to charges that he didn't even do because they altered the FBI meeting. The 302 reports were altered and changed, and then they threatened his son, and therefore he had to plead guilty. When all this became exposed, they exonerated him, dropped all the charges, and now he's pardoned officially. But boy, you get some of these corrupt judges, for instance, Emmett Sullivan, that kept pushing this out and saying, no, we can't let this traitor go. We cannot let this criminal go. And the mainstream media pushes that angle, and the general public ends up believing it. Also this week, Tulsi Gabbard was in the news. She calls on Trump to say, you know what, maybe you pardon Julian Assange and Edward Snowden as well. A lot of folks, even in the truth community, 9/11 truth and whatnot, are big fans of Tulsi. Well, got to remember that she is also corrupt and is also compromised. And so her role in these things is to bring some somewhat truths out, but we cannot believe her. Now, we know that Assange is a good guy, but Edward Snowden is a clown. He's CIA, always was CIA, and he exposed and blew the whistle on the NSA to make them look bad, but it was to make the CIA then look good by default, by blowing the whistle on the NSA. And the NSA was bad. What he blew the whistle on was true. He was a whistleblower, but because he had ulterior motives by working with the CIA, it was actually all the stuff that he did was meant to make the CIA look good. And so Snowden is not a good guy. He's playing a role, and he played it quite well, but keep in mind that's not an authentic. Now, there's an article posted this week on Natural News on tying together this COVID along with the election and everything that's going on with trying to oust Trump and get Biden into office. Very powerful article. You couldn't even post it onto Twitter. I tried to post that link on Twitter several times. It just didn't even allow it. So Twitter shut that down altogether, which is very interesting. Now, anything you post from G News, a good news source, much like OAN and Newsmax, G News will give you an Instaban, 12-hour Instaban on Twitter if you post anything that has the G News link in it. So censoring is out there and real, of course. Now, William Barr, the AG, did an interesting hire this week. Interesting hire. He hired Robert Heberle to head up the election fraud investigation. And this raised the antenna of many truth tellers out there and people exposing the truth. They said, you know, Robert Heberle is an old Obama guy, deep state guy. Why on earth would Barr be hiring him? And so Barr lost a lot of followers this week when he made that statement and actually made that hiring decision, because Heberle's obviously a bad guy. Why would he hire him unless Barr himself was bad? Which could certainly be the case. Something to consider, of course. The top Iran nuclear scientist was killed. This was November 27th. Very interesting what went on here. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes here. The election is making all the news. COVID is making all the news. But when your top nuclear scientist in all of Iran is killed, there's other things going on behind the scenes here. Also this week, the state senator from Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano was banned on Twitter this week. Now, only for a short time. He is a Trump guy. He's exposing election fraud and is pro-Trump. He was banned. Well, folks got upset right away, started contacting Twitter, and Twitter came back and reinstated Mastriano and said it was a mistake. It was just a random mistake, and he should not have been banned. Well, once again, very interesting. Why are they banning anybody? I can see if you've had multiple warnings on things, and then you get banned. Yes, that's the case. He didn't have anything as such as a warning on his name at all on Twitter. They outright banned him. Problem is, they say that's a mistake. How could that be a mistake, though? That's what we've got to think. Think big picture. The governor of Michigan, Governor Whitmer, had some interesting news this week. One of the counties in Michigan voted on a 4-2 decision out of six people to vote 4-2 to impeach the governor. Now, this is interesting. It made some of the news in the alternative media that she was going to be impeached. And that was certainly the case, but it was really implied that they're moving forward with the impeachment process. No, that's not the case. Just one county elected to move forward with it. That's not to say that maybe more countries will follow suit, but it's going to take a lot of effort to actually make that take place. The articles that I read were implying that process was already underway. And so it was a bit misleading. An NFL player this week made an interesting video relating to the coronavirus. A player from the Las Vegas Raiders received a call in Nevada from the Nevada Health Department saying that he's tested positive for coronavirus. So he gets a call. He said, well, where is this from and who, where is this call coming from? I never went in to get tested. But he plays in the NFL where they undergo daily testing. You have to test positive every single day. And he's always been positive. He's never had it. So why would he get a call from the Nevada State Health Department? Interesting is that got out, and quickly he got an apology, and they issued a retraction saying, you don't have it. We must have got it mixed up with someone else. Well, now, once again, here's the problem. How did they get his name or phone number as he never went in to get tested? So he did a video, interesting one to watch if you get a chance. This whole thing does not even make sense. Now, it does line up with people that have signed up to get in line, signed up to get in a car to wait in line to do a testing at a facility. And there have been people that have turned around because the line was too long, only to get home and find out to get a phone call message saying that they have COVID when they never got tested. They got in line to get tested. So they volunteered their information. Another person was in line at a facility, and it was taking so long they left. They had another appointment to get to, and they also got a call saying that they tested positive when they didn't even get tested. The line was too long. They left. So these are not just one-off scenarios. This is happening in bunches. Very strange. Sydney Powell this week wore an interesting necklace. She gave a press conference. And if you did a stop on that video and zoom in on the image, she had a small gold necklace that was in the shape of a noose, a hangman's noose. And once again, are these comms? This was meant to be seen, obviously. But the question is, why? A lot of comms going on. It's hard to keep up with all this because there's so much communications and coded messages and everything. She actually filed the deal with the district court in, I think it was Georgia, for the voting fraud, and had a handful of various spelling mistakes in the legal document. Sidney Powell would never do that on purpose. Question is, there's speculation from the anons out there on the forums that say the spelling mistakes were on purpose to get out there into the public domain so the deep state leftists, the left, could harp on her and show all these poor spelling mistakes to make her look bad, while at the same time giving more exposure to these documents that aren't in the news. And I don't know if that was the plan or not, but I think the plan for the misspellings was to get something like that out there to get more eyes on that document. Now, the interesting scenario we have this week, and this is still developing now as we speak, it relates to the USB jump drives for the votes. The presidential election. Remember the 47 drives with admin access that went missing? Those 47 USB jump drives had administrative rights. You plug them into a USB port in the voting machine, and you can get at the stats, the calculations, and do whatever you want to finagle something. Now, speculation is that each one of those were programmed to be, once inserted to the voting machine, to actually take an action. The action was to insert 50,000 additional votes for Joe Biden when that chip was put in, that USB thumb drive, 50,000 votes. And that could have been the case in some of these swing states, some of these swing counties, where they were supposed to be close. That would have simply been enough to use those 47 in random locations to insert, to jump up the votes for Biden, just enough to get him to win. And so that could certainly be the case. That's still being looked at now. It's not getting any airplay on the mainstream news, though, at all. Once again, that's the 47 jump drives, federal election jump drives that were stolen. Very high secure drives that never should have, that should have been locked up and never would have been released anyway, but they got stolen. We don't know where those are. Now we're seeing all this voting fraud. Interesting. Kraken. Sidney Powell's been using the phrase Kraken to release the Kraken. General public doesn't know what that is, so they think it's just nonsense. They're thinking it's a monster from the deep sea, an octopus type of a thing. Once again, we're dealing with coded messages. General McInerney did point out to everybody that Kraken is another name for the 305th Military Intelligence Battalion. That's their nickname, is the Kraken. She said, release the Kraken. Well, that's very interesting, to say the least, that she would make a comment like that. So 305th Military Intelligence Battalion is the Kraken. Makes sense. Well, McInerney also went on to say that those servers in Germany, the election servers that were counting the votes in Frankfurt, Germany, resulted in 5 deaths in some kind of a firefight with CIA. 5 men were killed, and another person was killed in some kind of a shootout while all that was going on. All of this flew under the radar. But when she said that we have the servers, and the news came out that the servers were under the control of the White Hats, these were the servers at that election facility that was counting the votes, and the corruption was done, had to be off-site once again, and in another country. When they traced them back to a server in Germany, that's when the Anon started doing some digging and found out that there was a firefight that resulted in something happened in Frankfurt in the days after the election, resulting in 5 dead. Now, the question is, was the 305th Military Intelligence Battalion in Frankfurt, Germany, and part of this operation to retrieve the servers? Hint, hint. So this could all be the same thing. They were saying on the news articles that did show the 5 dead was a helicopter crash. And so I think that was a cover story, as there was something more dangerous and more illicit going on there in Frankfurt relating to those servers. Those servers have the proof of the election fraud. And so when that comes to light, this could all switch around. Now, Biden this week, just yesterday, was playing with the dog and twisted his ankle. This is making all the news here today on the 29th. Very strange. Biden playing with the dog, twists his ankle. Some are speculating now that he's going to be possibly wearing a boot. You know, was he arrested? Is this how this is all going to play out as a cover story with the dog? Remember, all the dog comms that we've been hearing, communications on Twitter, always relate to dogs. Usually James Comey is the one tweeting about the dogs. And now we have Joe Biden, coincidentally enough, having issue playing with the dog. Last thing, we also have proof now of Virginia voting fraud. And so there's other items here with all these cases of fraud. Georgia, just today, by Batten, it was Mr. Batten there in Georgia, ordered that all the election voting machines be impounded. Now get this, Georgia had all the strange water main break in Fulton County. They have all the other strange votes that more people are voting than there are voters. And very interesting. There was a planned upgrade on those machines today to update the software. Now, CodeMonkey, who's been doing a lot of this tweeting and providing information on the coding, says once the data has been deleted or wiped or the system upgrade has been performed, you lose track. You lose traceability then of the election fraud that took place. So he's been saying all week, now this is Ron Watkins from 8kun, who's one of the lead data analysts regarding the election fraud that you see interviewed. He says that they've got to get that. The evidence is there. The only way to get that is to impound those voting machines. So nothing can be touched or fiddled around with or obstructed or change, because that is where your proof is. So the Georgia state ordered, Mr. Batten, ordered all those items to be impounded today, which is very good news. The problem is, 30 minutes later, he reversed the order. So someone got to him. He reversed it and says, you know what? Let it go. We can't do that. So he now, Mr. Batten, has been compromised as well. Remember to check out all of our articles and content at eternalaffairsmedia.com. And if you feel so led to do so, please click on the links in the description to support us financially. We are an entirely independent media operation and end times ministry. We rely on your support to continue providing you excellent content. Go to eternalaffairsmedia.com and bookmark the site, as well as sign up for the email newsletter in case they ever take our social media pages down. Big thank you to our patrons as well on those giving the donations for our online ministry. Once again, my name is Dan Hennen. Today is November 29th, 2020. Please share and comment. And thank you for listening.
America.